Let's talk about this with our guest, Khaled Al-Ashami from the Al-Quds Al-Arabi joins us from London. Khaled Al-Ashami, we're talking about the judiciary in Egypt. Wondering, is the judiciary independent or is there any type of influence by SCAF and the ruling junta on that? As it was evident by Egyptians, they said that these verdicts recently were influenced somehow by SCAF, which means remnants of the old regime were present.
Well, it's really difficult to say, but as a matter of fact, some heads of the judiciary system are still in place since Mubarak era, and they are, in view of the Egyptians, are responsible for what happened in the past regarding the elections and other matters. There is no question that the judiciary system needs to be reformed, just like many other establishments in Egypt.
Well, why don't you tell us about the judicial powers, as it's been said time and again, of the military? Shouldn't it be separate? What kind of judicial powers do they have?
Well, the ruling military council at this point is still acting as the president, as the president of the republic, and in that capacity only they could have the right to issue new constitutional declaration, as any president can do, and this will continue until they hand over power, supposedly or hopefully by the end of this month, and that's why the parliament was forced in the last few days to agree, and which they couldn't do for a long time, to agree on forming the constitutional association that will actually write the constitution. So they do have power, and I think the parliament know that, and that's why they changed their position and agreed to what they were asked for.
Well, when we talk about the agreement that was reached on the composition of the Constituent Assembly, we also know that prior to that, the SCAF wanted to have some amendments that would protect them from being prosecuted. Isn't that correct? Do you foresee them playing a hand, even though there's been an agreement now for this 100-member assembly, that somehow they want themselves to be obviously exempt from being prosecuted?
Well, Field Marshal Hossein Tantawi stated in the past that the military establishment position going to be or going to remain the same in the new constitution. Of course, we don't know what the new constitution will look like until it is written and ratified by the people in a public referendum. But I see it's really difficult for them to put any new text that would actually give them any more advantage or protect them from prosecution. I don't think this is going to happen. I think a lot will depend on who is the next president, because it's not really what's written in the constitution that really matters. It's how and what part will be implemented, and that depends a lot on the name of the president. If Ahmed Shafiq, who is, of course, ex-air marshal, is the next president, this will automatically play in the interest of the military council. This will be their favorite choice. If it is the other candidate, I still don't think that there will be a direct conflict yet. The relation is going to be difficult between the president and the military council, but I know that they both going to try to live together and to avoid any direct conflicts.
Well, let me bring in another viewpoint. Introduce our guest from Cairo, Marwan Al-Ashal, who's an international lawyer who joins us. Marwan Al-Ashal, I'd like to talk about two things with you. As an international lawyer, perhaps you can clarify this for us and see if there's a relation. One, the parliamentary election law, the other, the political isolation law, in which the parliamentary election law, there's a complaint that has been filed, which, if positive, perhaps could lead, based on the law, for the parliament to be dissolved. And then you have this political isolation law in which we know that it's going to announce a ruling on June 14th. Tell us about how these two might play with each other in terms of how SCAF is maneuvering one towards the other, if indeed it's true.
First of all, let's talk about each in a separate file. First, the isolation law was a demand for the revolution since it gushed up in January 28th. And the other law that the Constitutional Court is supposed to be assessing currently is dissolving the parliament based on a wrong law for nomination of the members of the parliament. So if we take the first file, which is the isolation law, the isolation law is very tailor-made. And I think the Constitutional Court would not approve, from a very technical aspect, would not approve such law and probably will be refused. Reason being is this law would isolate a certain tribe of people from practicing the political life in Egypt anymore. Usually laws are subjective and general, and they speak to the public rule of the people, and does not address a certain type of people who had certain political interests.
Okay, now so before you continue, why don't you expand more about who you're talking about regarding the political isolation law that you said Egyptians will not be able to practice? I'm not too sure how you worded it, themselves in Egypt. Which groups of people are you talking about?
Ex-NDP members, ex-government members, ex-ministers, ex-prime ministers.
So are you saying
that... These are the people who are subjected by the law.
And you're saying that they should be allowed to practice in Egypt? I'm not too sure I followed you correctly on that.
No, that's not my personal opinion. I'm giving an evaluation of the law itself that's put now before the Constitutional Court to have a decision for. The Constitutional Court usually rules a very legal, technical ruling, doesn't give political rulings. So this law should be issued from the Parliament and should not go to the Constitutional Court. If it goes to the Constitutional Court, probably is going to be refused. And if it's refused, usually the SCAF is the one that that decides the laws. And if the SCAF decides or issues a law, it is not subject to the Constitutional Court review, since every action of the SCAF or any law issued from the SCAF is an act of sovereignty and is not subject to any review from any court whatsoever, because it's a very temporary law that has a superpower acting on the theory of the prince. So from a technical aspect, this law should not, if it's approved by the SCAF, then it will be applied. If it goes to the Constitutional Court, so it will be refused. That's for the first part of the law.
Okay, and do you think...
Second part of the law.
Well, let me get my guest in, my other guest in, so you could then expand more on that parliamentary election law, which I'm really interested in. Looking, Khaled Alshami, at what our guest just said there, it appears this political isolation law is going to get rejected if we have SCAF at top that has the power to do that, if I understood our guest Marwan al-Ashal correctly. Do you agree with that?
No, really. I would like to clarify first that actually those who are subjected by the isolation law, according to the text, is the prime minister and ministers who served under Mubarak in the last 10 years of his rule. And this makes Ahmed Shafi illegal candidate. And that's why we have seen massive rallies in Egypt denouncing that he is still in the race. As far as the Constitutional Court, it is expected that is going to refuse it for legal reasons, and this will allow Shafiq to remain in the race. But as far as the majority of people in Egypt, he will still be illegal no matter what.
Okay, so Marwan al-Ashal, then, this parliamentary election law, tell us about that and how there's a possibility about the complaint being filed that the parliament might be dissolved.
Yes, the parliament, if it may be dissolved or otherwise, that's a separate file. The first file, let's finish it first. The political isolation law, any law that's issued from a parliament should be general and subjective and does not target a certain tribe of people or a certain orientation of people. So that's the first reason for the Constitutional Court to refuse the law. From a technical aspect, yet we're saying this is not a normal legislation that would be issued in a normal situation. This is a political incentivized law that has political reasons to be issued for. So it will not go through the normal legislative procedure to have it processed or to have it passed. It should go to the SCAF, the SCAF should approve it, and the SCAF decisions are not subject to any review from any constitutional court. So on the other side, the parliament dissolution. The parliament dissolution is going to be counting on one point as a justification to dissolute the parliament. That the parties has invaded the circles of the individuals and have allowed individuals through parties to run the elections. This part was agreed with the SCAF. So if the SCAF was involved in this process, how come the SCAF would do a wrongdoing, and how would it contribute in a wrongdoing that's illegal, and they know it was illegal, and we had a long debate for a couple of months for having this law approved and the parliamentary elections law amended accordingly. So I think the SCAF would be subject to such judicial award, and if this award is issued, it would first harm the SCAF, second harm the parliament. Yet, all of these issues will not have anything to do with the presidential elections. Dr. Mohamed Morsi for the Muslim Brotherhood is running as a president and not running for the parliament as a parliament member, and is running on behalf of the Freedom and Justice Party, which is the Muslim Brotherhood Party, which is legitimate and has nothing to do with the parliament as well. So this would not have any effect whatsoever on the presidential elections. It would even have a worse effect on the people to go for the Muslim Brotherhood instead of Shafiq.
Okay.
I think Shafiq, as a part of the old regime, and everyone knows this, and this is very obvious, and well, his role model is Mubarak, as he announced before in numerous occasions.
Well, Khaled Al-Shami, let me begin, Khaled Al-Shami, since we're quickly running out of time. What are the possibilities, though, of, again, possibilities, your opinion, of the ruling junta maneuvering on this idea of the parliament being dissolved, which, in essence, if it were to happen, don't you think that the Muslim Brotherhood would not have the majority that they have right now? Isn't there possibilities of them maneuvering on this?
There is a possibility, and unfortunately, I mean, theoretically, constitutional court should be independent. This is the highest court in Egypt, and they just had a new president elected last week, and we should give them the benefit of the doubt and expect them to rule according to the law only. And according to the law, many experts do expect the parliament will be dissolved next Thursday for a purely legal reason, and this will mean that the general elections will have to be rerun again, and we will start all over again. It's true, this is not going to affect the presidential elections, but this is going to mean more political turmoil. The new president will not find a parliament to swear in, and is going to be a problem. And of course, political scene has changed in Egypt now since the election was done like 6 months ago now. Muslim Brotherhoods have suffered. Their credibility have suffered badly in the last few months.
Right.
They promised not to run the presidential election, and they do. So we might see a completely different parliament if the elections to be done again.
Thank you very much. We're going to unfortunately have to leave it there. Let me thank our guests, Khaled Al-Shami from Al-Quds Al-Arabi, talking there from London, and also Marwan Al-Ashal, thank you very much, international lawyer from Cairo. And thank you for watching another in-depth look of the upcoming presidential runoff votes to take place in Egypt.